This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest, 50,000 watts. Plus, you can listen on the app, which you can get at 810WHB.com. Jed Marshall is running the show. My name is Brad Porter. Royals win last night 6-5 over the Twins. Danny Duffy was outstanding. Seven innings, handful of hits, one earned run, his first win at Kauffman Stadium in 11 months. 11 months. All right, Chiefs fans are excited because the team is reporting to training camp this week up in St. Joe. Rookies and quarterbacks start tomorrow, Sunday, but that is not open to the public. You cannot go watch the Chiefs on Sunday, so do not go. Stephen St. John will be there. He'll be able to report on it. The general public, do not go on Sunday, even though the Chiefs are going to be there and the excitement is over the top right now. Joining us now on the Sprint guest line is Brooke Pryor, who is one of the two new Chiefs beat writers for the Kansas City Star, along with Lynn Worthy. Brooke, first time we've had you on the show. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
So you're being thrown right into the fire here because you were at the Oklahoman and you got the job at the Star, what, about 3 or 4 weeks ago? And it's time to go to training camp, right?
Yeah, I know. I mean, rookies are reporting Sunday. I'm also a rookie. That's why I'll be there Sunday. So, you know, it works out really well.
So kind of tell us, we'll get a little bit of your background first. How long were you at the Oklahoman?
I was there for 2 years.
2 years. So you got to cover Bob Stoops for a little bit, right?
Yeah, I joined the Oklahoman thinking I was covering one of the most stable programs in college football. And lo and behold, Bob Stoops retires after I'm there a year. So it's been nothing but news since I got there and never a dull moment, which I like.
What was that like? Because I think to the, at least in my opinion, nobody knew this was coming. Maybe people close to Bob Stoops did, but you know, the recruiting period was over. Everybody was signed, getting ready to put in plans for the Oklahoma training camp, and then I'm retiring, and my top assistant is taking over. What was that like? Was that complete? Did anybody have a hint that this was coming?
I mean, I think that we didn't really have a hint as far as, you know, I think his wife Carol Stoops knew that it was maybe happening. I don't think she knew that it was happening right then and there that week. The plan was for it to kind of roll out a little slower. I think the press conference was on a Wednesday. It was supposed to happen on a Friday, but news started to get out early that week and kind of pushed everything up. And he had some conversations, you know, here and there early in the year, but it, you know, wasn't apparent at all. It was very much out of the blue for most everyone else. It's one of those things that, you know, you think you're having a slow news day.
Right.
Women's softball team had just won the World Series the night before. So, you know, we think, we're just going to write about softball. And lo and behold, Bob drops this huge piece of news, and it kind of changed the whole summer.
We're talking with Brooke Pryor from the Kansas City Star, new Chiefs beat writer. And she's getting ready to head up to St. Joe. The rookies are going to be there tomorrow. Not open to the public yet, not until later in the week. So when Bob Stoops retired, I'm sure the obvious follow-up questions are you going to coach again? He's made a pile of cash. He has nothing to prove. He has a national championship. He has conference titles. But do you have any sort of feeling or instinct or thought that Bob Stoops will eventually come back to the college football game or perhaps even the National Football League?
You know, I go back and forth on it, but I don't think he's going to coach again, at least, you know, not in college football, not in the NFL. You know, will he go coach with Spurrier in the new AFL or whatever it is that they've started, the American Football Alliance, I think?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see maybe him going to do that eventually, but for him, I think the biggest thing is being able to spend time with his family and enjoy his son's college football careers. They are both preferred walk-ons at OU, and he's done a lot in the last year to kind of acclimate to life after coaching for him and his family. And I think that he's firmly on that train of enjoying retirement and figuring out what's next. I think, you know, maybe we'll see him in the broadcast booth being an analyst, but I would say not for another couple of years. I think he just kind of wants to be a dad and be a fan as much as a former coach can be a fan.
I would honestly, if I made that much money, I would do the same thing. I'm sure he makes a generous speaking fee. I'm sure he travels around the country doing speaking engagements. I would do the same thing. I've told these people, like, this TV station I used to work for, they sold from one cable company to another, and the CEO got $96 million to walk away, and then he gets another job. And I'm like, if I had that much money, you'd never see me again. You would wonder what happened to me. So I hope he enjoys his life. I think we asked that because Urban Meyer did the I'm retiring thing, and then he comes back to Ohio State. That's probably why we ask about that, and I hope he enjoys his life. On the basketball side, and I promise I'm going to get to Chiefs here. On the basketball side, what kind of a fishbowl did Trae Young live in last year? Because as soon as the conference season started, the comparisons to Steph Curry began. And even Steph Curry was asked, have you seen this Trae Young kid? Oh, yeah, he's a great kid. What kind of a fishbowl did Trae Young live in last year at the University of Oklahoma?
Yeah, I mean, he couldn't go anywhere without being recognized, talked about, talked to, asked for autographs. I mean, he was, on a campus where you have larger-than-life figures, you have Baker Mayfield, you have Lincoln Riley, Trae Young is right up there in the same breath with those guys. And sometimes even more so, especially during basketball season when football's kind of, gone by the wayside. OU's lost the Rose Bowl. I think that OU really wanted something to throw themselves into, and so that was basketball. And Trae Young, being a hometown kid, was one of, the biggest gets for OU and kind of splashiest name to come through in a while. I mean, kind of right there after Blake Griffin, follow up with Trae Young. Buddy Hield, obviously big too, but not in the same way that Trae was given these instant, he's going to be a difference maker. He's going to go to the NBA. I mean, just an unreal set of expectations. And then he delivered on them at the very beginning. And so he just kind of, what he was able to do kind of built into his hype. And I think that, he probably would have benefited from another, year in OU. Maybe it would have calmed down a little bit, but I think for him going to the NBA was the best thing he could have done, because would he want another year of being in a fishbowl and having these expectations again? Probably not. And you could kind of see the way it wore on his teammates too. I mean, Trey's on, covers of magazines, ESPN interviews, everything. And, there's also 9-10 other guys on the team that are not getting, a fraction of the amount of attention he was getting. So it created a really interesting dynamic around that program.
We're talking with Brooke Pryor, new to the Kansas City Star, beat writer for the Kansas City Chiefs, or covering the Kansas City Chiefs, not for. They have their own team at their website. So we'll shift to the Chiefs here as you get ready to head to St. Joe. Are you already there or are you heading up tomorrow?
I'm headed up tomorrow.
Okay, headed up tomorrow. The rookies report tomorrow. And again, that is not open to the public, but Brooke will be out there covering the team. So does the Kansas City Star have a plan to have like a daily Pat Mahomes watch? Because honestly, Brooke, I have been covering this team for over 20 years. Other than Joe Montana, I cannot remember seeing hype like this for a player, in particular a quarterback, before. So is the Kansas City Star going to have a daily Pat Mahomes watch?
Man, that's what it feels like. If that's the plan, I haven't been told that I'm going to be the Pat Mahomes reporter, but it kind of feels that way, looking at our coverage plan, we're thinking, how many stories do we need to write about this guy on Sunday? And I think the general answer is you can't write enough.
There's not enough. No, we got a website. Yeah, you can write all day.
Right. Thank goodness for the internet. There's no space cap. There's no, inch count that we got to hit on the internet. We can just go forever. And knowing the fan base around here from the responses I've gotten on Twitter and the emails I've gotten, I mean, people want to read it. So if they want to read it, we will write it.
Absolutely. And again, we're talking with Brooke Pryor from the Kansas City Star, new Chiefs beat writer. Look, you've had to cover Baker Mayfield. And I don't know if there was more hype around a college quarterback last year anywhere in the country than Baker Mayfield. Does it feel the same about Patrick Mahomes here in Kansas City, or is it even more?
I think it's, I was going to say it's even more, but then I think about the crazy stuff that was going on at OU and all the talk around Baker. I think it's really comparable, but instead of, a Heisman Trophy and a national championship, these people want, Pat's going to be here a lot longer, and so they're ready to see a franchise quarterback out of the gate. And, I mean, I think that even saying, Super Bowl, they want, playoffs, deep run in the playoffs, championships, I mean, it's the same kind of pressure. I think that it's in a way a little bit different, or it just the tenor is a little different because you know that Patrick Mahomes is going to be here for longer. At least you hope that's kind of the plan. With Baker Mayfield, it was kind of like last year, one last shot. You know, he had the option to leave after the 2016 season, but he decided to come back to kind of have this unfinished business. Patrick Mahomes doesn't really have that unfinished business storyline. He just has, you know, to get his business started. So I think it's definitely a different tone, but the same kind of interest and the same kind of, you know, you Google Patrick Mahomes or you search Patrick Mahomes on Twitter and it's everywhere.
Right.
And he's got a lot. He's got some Trae Young set of expectations going into this season.
All right, we're talking with Brooke Pryor, new Chiefs beat writer for the Kansas City Star. She'll be heading up to St. Joe tomorrow for the rookies when they report. There's going to be, I mean, there's 1,000 different storylines we have going into training camp. The two most obvious are Patrick Mahomes, one, and then all the defensive draft picks, number two. And you have to look at things objectively. So when you look at this Chiefs offense, and it's Patrick Mahomes in the first year, it's Travis Kelce is a Pro Bowler, it's Tyreek Hill's a Pro Bowler, it's Sammy Watkins is coming in with ridiculous speed, it's Kareem Hunt coming off one of the best rookie seasons in the history of the National Football League. There's a lot there to take in. Will you have time, I guess, to kind of take the 30,000-foot view, or is it right away, we need to be breaking down, is this offense going to make it or not? So how do you approach this training camp? Because there's a lot to do.
Yeah, there really is. I mean, I'm glad you just listed off all the players because I was trying to go over them in my head. And I feel like I forget someone because there are so many offensive weapons. And I mean, I think my job is to strike a good balance of that. I've tried to take that 30,000-foot view over the last couple of weeks to get myself familiarized and acclimated to the team. I think in a lot of ways I'm lucky coming at this team from covering the Big 12 because I look at the makeup of the offense and the defense in a lot of ways too, and it reminds me of a Big 12 team where it's just absolutely loaded on offense. The defense is, you know, a little bit more unheralded, but they've made it over. Instead of signing, you know, freshmen to come in, they've got, you know, all these draft picks that they're trying to get in and get playing right away, which reminds me a lot of OU and how they worked last year. And I think that looking at all these weapons that the Chiefs had, I mean, like you said, they brought in Sammy Watkins, they've got Tyreek Hill, they've got Kareem Hunt, they've got Spencer Ware on the mend, hoping, you know, that he's going to be ready. Just got so many guys, Travis Kelce, that I think that I do want to get in and start dissecting it. But for me, the biggest part about going to camp is getting to know all these guys so that I can, you know, kind of relate what, you know, their headspace is off the field and what they're telling me off the field to what they're able to do on. And I just want to get a better understanding of who they are as people, players, the whole shebang. And lucky for me, I've got 3 weeks in St. Joe with nothing else to do but to get to know the team, the players, the offense, the defense, the everything, the coaches, you know, run the whole gamut.
We're talking with Brooke Pryor, covers the Chiefs for the Kansas City Star, joining the Star from her days at the Oklahoman, covering the University of Oklahoma. I had a thought about this while we were going through all the weapons and you were talking about you had to think about it and like, wow, there's so much talent here. Is there a danger like in same as college basketball? Is there any hint of a danger? And you won't know this probably till you get to camp, but there are not enough footballs to go around. That, you know, if Tyreek Hill's getting his catches, maybe Sammy Watkins isn't getting enough. Is Travis Kelce getting enough? Is Kareem Hunt getting? Is there a danger with this many weapons that there are not enough footballs to go around and egos get in the way?
You know, I mean, I think that is always a concern, but I also think that a lot of times these things have a way of working themselves out. And I think that it would be easier to put the egos aside when you've got, you know, this goal of going farther in the playoffs, something that, you know, this team hasn't done, this franchise hasn't done in a long time. And I also, just looking at the makeup, obviously, you know, I don't know these guys yet, so the only thing I know is what I've read. But it doesn't seem like this is going to be a team that's going to have the really big ego problems. You know, maybe it gets deeper in the season and that stuff develops more. But in the beginning, I think that things are going to shake out the way that they need to shake out. You know, whatever's going to happen in camp is going to happen. And they'll have the preseason games to figure it out. But I don't see that being as much of an issue as it could be.
Yeah, I think football is a different dynamic than basketball, and that, you know, there's so many guys and there's only so many games, and your body gets beaten down, and the winning is the thing. And Andy Reid, as a head coach, will, I'm sure, make sure that kind of thing doesn't happen. We're talking with Brooke Pryor, covers the Kansas City Chiefs for the Kansas City Star, getting ready to head to St. Joe for Chiefs training camp. Were you surprised that the Chiefs went entirely with defense in the draft? I mean, Khalil McKenzie was an offensive lineman, but they want him to move over to defense. Were you surprised at how much stock they put into drafting defensive players?
You know, I wasn't, especially like, you know, we were just talking about the offensive side and worrying about, you know, having enough footballs to go around. You know, if they brought in a lot of offensive talent in the draft, then I think maybe you have to have that conversation a little bit more about, you know, worrying about spreading the ball out enough and making sure everyone gets a piece of it. But the defensive side, I mean, that was, I think, one of the glaring problems with last year's team, especially, you know, you look in the playoffs and what happened there with the Tennessee game. I've already been told that that's a thing that people really don't want to talk about. So
yeah,
bring that up.
No, in fact, Brett Veach said a few weeks ago, somebody was asking him about the defensive draft, and he goes, yeah, that Tennessee game, we were weak. And he took it out on his own team. So, yeah, it is a sore subject, but it will have to be talked about.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly why they went all defense. And I think that, you know, when you see the performance and what happened in that game, you know that things have to change. And what better way to make that change start happening than go out and get some young defensive players? And that's exactly what they did.
We're talking with Brooke Pryor, new Chiefs beat writer for the Kansas City Star, along with Lynn Worthy. Have you had a chance to meet Lynn yet?
I have. We were in the same orientation meeting yesterday morning with HR. Seems great. We're ready to, you know, get up there and get started together. I know Therese did a great job when he was at the Star, and I'm glad that we have two people to kind of fill in for everything that he was able to do. I think, you know, maybe he had a twin that was able to carry that workload, because I don't know how one human did all that. You know, he's left certainly some big shoes to fill.
Yeah, so I remember the days when the Star routinely had two beat reporters to cover the Chiefs, and I honestly didn't know how Therese did it by himself. I didn't know how Adam Teicher did it mostly by himself before Therese got there, and then Adam went to ESPN. But I'm appreciative because I love the Star and I love good reporting and good writing. So I'm looking forward to see the two of you tackle this training camp. Being around you were around Bob Stoops for a short period of time, and now you'll be around Andy Reid. And I'll give you the 411. Andy Reid doesn't say a lot. he can say a lot without saying anything. He doesn't divulge a lot of information unless the Chiefs allow you a private conversation. In the media gaggle, he doesn't say a lot. But you're going to get the chance to cover one of the most accomplished coaches in the history of the National Football League. What do you want if you get a chance to talk to Andy privately, what do you want to mine from him? What kind of information? What do you want to learn about Andy Reid?
Oh, man. There's so much that I want to learn about Andy Reid. And
I kind of left that wide open, right?
I know, man. I mean, it feels like I'm covering Bob Stoops 2.0, the NFL version of Bob, which is great. And I mean, I think in those private conversations, you know, obviously there's team strategy and there's injury stuff that I want to know and all that. But again, I go back to, I want, you know, to get to know Andy the person. You know, why he's still coaching, what his motivation is, you know, all those things that you can kind of that get dropped by the wayside during the season when you're so focused on week to week, each opponent. You know, I want to know, you know, what's his daily routine like, you know, stuff like that. I got to know Tom Herman a little bit at Texas, and my favorite conversation we ever had was about his late night habit of coming back from the office and eating a whole pint of Ben and Jerry's. He had to go on a diet after that, but you know, we talked about what his favorite Ben and Jerry's flavor was, stuff like that. So I don't anticipate my first conversation with Andy Reid going like that. I think he may laugh me out of the conversation, and you can never recover from that. But you know, on down the road, that's the kind of relationship that I kind of hope to build with him and as many people as I can in the Chiefs organization.
All right, we're talking with Brooke Pryor, new Chiefs beat writer for the Kansas City Star, getting ready to head to St. Joe. Rookies report tomorrow. As you when you applied for this job in Kansas City, had you been here and covering the Big 12, had you been to Kansas City a number of times before?
I have. You know, this is kind of the stopping point, or, you know, we'll overshoot when there's a game at Kansas or Kansas State. We'd stayed in Kansas City and made sure to hit, you know, Boulevard, Garozo's. I've been there more times than I can count. that's a favorite of everyone on the OU beat. So if you're ever looking for an OU reporter, just go to Garozo's, even if they're not in town. I'm sure someone will be there.
Well, Garozo's is it was one of my favorite. Michael Garozo is such a nice guy, and it's such a classic place to go. I love it. So.
Oh yeah, that's like when I think of Kansas City. I know you're supposed to think of barbecue.
Right.
I definitely have had Kansas City barbecue. It's wonderful. However, when I think of the city, I think of Garozo's and Boulevard, and I don't think there's a better combination anywhere in the country.
There's nothing wrong with that. Two Kansas City institutions. Absolutely. As on the barbecue end, do you have a favorite spot? Because everybody who moves to Kansas City gets asked, what's your favorite barbecue spot?
Oh, gosh. Well, so I've been to Jack Stack a couple times. I've been to Arthur Bryan's. I haven't been to Joe's, Oklahoma Joe's. I guess the name's kind of changed.
Yeah.
So that's on my list.
Joe's
to
Kansas
go.
City
so I
now.
Don't think, yeah, so I don't know that I can make a definitive, you know, which one's my favorite out of the three. But I will say I really liked Arthur Bryan's when I went. So I will definitely be hitting that before I go up to St. Joe's tomorrow.
Absolutely. Well, you'll have plenty of time over the course of the football season to sample the different barbecues. We're talking with Brooke Pryor, new Chiefs beat writer for the Kansas City Star, covered the University of Oklahoma for the Oklahoma. Final question for you before I let you go. Can't let your college football get too far away. Prediction for the Big 12 champion for this season?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, I think it's got to be OU.
Yes.
You look at everything.
Put it on a
tee
for you.
Back. I mean, exactly. I mean, it's not Baker Mayfield, but I would say there's about a 99.9% chance that Kyler Murray is a starting quarterback, because you don't make $4.7 million and come back to ride the bench.
Exactly.
And, yeah. I mean, he's incredibly good. Their offense is loaded. Their defense has a lot of young guys. I mean, I'm excited that my Saturdays are going to be freed up so I can split time between watching OU and then watching my alma mater, UNC. One team's going to be a lot better than the other, so at least I'll kind of have a good balance on Saturday.
All right, and we'll have to definitely have you back on the show and talk college football, and I'll have to ask you some of your favorite Baker Mayfield stories that we don't know, but we'll save that for another time.
Well, I'll start censoring them now.
Absolutely.
So I'll be ready next time I come on.
Absolutely. Brooke, when you get to St. Joe, just find Stephen St. John from Sports Radio 810 WHB. He can tell you every bar and restaurant in St. Joe that you should check out. He knows the landscape. He went to school up there, so find Stephen St. John.
Perfect. I'm making a note to myself right now.
All right. Brooke, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. Enjoy your Saturday.
Thanks so much for having me on.
All right. That is Brooke Pryor, new Chiefs beat writer for the Kansas City Star, getting to break in her first season of covering the Chiefs. I tell you what, you cover a big program like Oklahoma, Chiefs will be just fine. She'll be just fine.
Yeah, I think she'll do a nice job.
Yeah.
A little bit disappointed in the barbecue answers.
Well, she's got to have more time. She has a whole NFL season to sample all the different barbecues that Kansas City has to offer.
Well, I have to send Brooke a text message. When I was getting her on the phone, and obviously we don't just have it magically happen.
Right.
I like to get guests on, and I'm like, all right, we'll be up here in, you know, a minute or two. And I was like, make sure and hang on the line, because I'll give you some good spots to go check out.
Oh, I hung up at the end.
I'll send her a text.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Brad. Way to burn a bridge.
Well, are you the
first
guy?
First time having her on.
Yeah. Are you the guy when you make barbecue recommendations where you say you have to go to this place for the burnt ends, you have to go this place for the ribs? If you want the best coleslaw, you go here, or the best beans, you go here. Do you got to mix it up like that?
I'm pretty specific, yeah, with where I suggest people go and for what reason.
For what reason?
You can never go wrong with Joe's Kansas City. Best barbecue in the world. So therefore, best barbecue in Kansas City.
On that note, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll kick around some of those Chiefs topics a little bit more. We'll talk about what Brooke was talking about, and she's getting ready to head up to St. Joe, and all the fans are going to head up there. And I'll be curious to see how packed it's going to be. But we can get to that in the next segment. Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, Ben Kirchival from CBSSports.com is going to join us, talk college football, get some maybe predictions for the season. Preseason awards are all the rage, and I've already seen, I've had 57 emails for who's on what watch list. So Ben Kirchwell in the 11 o'clock hour. Right now, we'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Saturday. Jed Marshall is running the show. My name is Brad Porter. We're live in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I like that one. Now I'm gonna do it again. Who is this?
You've seen this person perform live. This is Beck.
I like your bass.
Okay. Yes. He does some wild stuff.
This is nice.
The song's called Hell Yes. I'm sure you know it.
When he was on Saturday Night Live a few years ago, it was just fantastic. It's great. And he can play, what, every instrument known to man just about? You're listening to Sports Saturday, and occasionally we delve into music here. Jed Marshall is running the show, playing DJ. My name is Brad Porter. We're live on Sports Radio 810 WHB, blasting out 50,000 watts across the Midwest. You also listen on the app, which you can get at 810 WHB. We are live at the Rally House Studios. A couple of things going on around town. The Hardwood Classic is going on over in Lawrence, Kansas. It's that building over by Rock Chalk Park. It's like right next to it. And I know Seren was out there yesterday. Boy, he had some big-name coaches on yesterday. Porter Mosier, Final Four from Loyola Chicago.
Yep.
Was it the coach from Iowa, Fran? I'm an Iowa fan. I always call him Fran. I don't know his last name.
He was trying to effort him to come on, but he was unsuccessful.
Oh.
Of course, Kareem Richardson here from UMKC, everybody's favorite.
Greg Marshall was on, right?
And Greg Marshall from Wichita State. I believe that's everyone. Oh, and actually Dana Altman from University of Oregon. So
I tell you what.
Certainly a big-time tournament. Chad Rader, who puts on the tournament, does a great job. There was a lot of talent. I was fortunate enough to see Chad for a couple of minutes yesterday. And, I would love to go down there. Unfortunately, I'm working and have some other things going on where I'm not going to be able to make it. But if you're out and about in Lawrence, man.
It's only $10, and you're getting, what, every five-star recruit in the country?
You're getting a lot of them. This is the tournament, and I don't follow the recruiting as closely as I probably should. But I know that last year they had Mo Bamba, Trey Young, Michael and Jonte Porter, all four of those guys were there. So you're talking about three first-round picks and then a guy who's going to be a first-round pick next year.
Right.
So that's the level of talent you're getting. And I know even when I was talking with Chad and we were texting a little bit, the guys who are playing, I mean,
it's ridiculous.
Well,
the
there's
talent
serious
is ridiculous.
Link. There, yeah. There's like a guy who's listed at 7'2", and Chad was letting me know is every bit of 7 foot. He said there's another legit 6'9 guy. I guess Porter Mosier has his eyeballs on a kid here with some local ties. I don't know if I can say more, but who can really shoot the three. So there's a lot of really good Division I talent for $10, like you said. Go down there, take the kids. It's going to be hot.
Right.
So go stay in a nice air-conditioned gym and watch some good hoop.
Yeah, it's interesting that we mentioned Porter Mosier because last night at the Hall & Oates concert at Sprint Center, I ran into Ed Fritz, the head basketball coach from Blue Valley Northwest, who, of course, had two kids who played for Loyola Chicago, Clayton Custer and Ben Jacobson. Ben Jacobson. And we talked a little bit. We just talked for a brief minute. But, Porter Mosier's got to be – I wonder if you go to a Final Four and you – let's say – how would we describe Loyola of Chicago before the Final Four? A fledgling program or – an average program?
Yeah, I'd
can say,
we say
average
would
okay.
be more.
Average. I wonder what it's like then after you go to a Final Four and then you walk into a gym over in Lawrence, Kansas with all the 5 stars and 4 stars, and I'm sure there's 3 and 2 stars as well. Is that, do you get a little more recognition? Do kids know who you are? I'm sure they probably do. Is it a big deal? Does Loyola Chicago now get a kid that would have gone to a K-State or a Missouri?
It's an interesting comp, and not to slight either of those schools. I know that the academic lure of Loyola of Chicago is very strong, so I don't know if that's necessarily a fair comp.
Right.
Would a Penn, who's pretty good in the Ivy League versus having a guy who comparable academics, who's been to a Final Four, walk into the gym and be like, hey, pal, not only are you really good with the books, you're really good with the basketball. How about you come play for me? Because maybe we can go back to the Final Four.
And Chicago's a nice place to live.
It is.
Right there on the water, right?
I would not mind. I wouldn't have mind my formative years being spent there.
Well, we had a great guest in our last segment, Brooke Pryor, who is the new Chiefs beat writer for the Kansas City Star. Moved here, worked the last 2 years at the Oklahoman, covering the University of Oklahoma. She's also a North Carolina grad, which I didn't have time to get into about the whole dynamic between KU and North Carolina and Roy Williams and all that. We'll have time to do that later. But it's interesting to hear from somebody who has not covered the team on a daily basis before and the things they're getting ready for. Patrick Mahomes is the obvious story, but she's going to have time to dig. The thing I thought about with, and she's on her way to St. Joe here, the rookies are reporting tomorrow. I heard Stephen and Nate talking about this earlier in the week on the Border Patrol, and I had a similar thought. What is attendance going to be like at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe this year with knowing that Patrick Mahomes II is going to be the starting quarterback? Is it going to be bananas? Is it going to be a rock show? Is it going to be Metallica at Sprint Center? I mean, what's
Metallica at Sprint Center?
Well, I want to go to that show next.
Well, so. You called Todd Lebo because he'll want to go too. I'm sure he probably already has tickets. I think that St. Joe can certainly anticipate a big uptick. I know that I have friends who have gone to training camp in the past and they've had good experiences. But at the end of the day, you're watching practice. There's not a lot of excitement going
normally
on.
Normally, shirts and shorts. It's not. It's rarely full pads.
Exactly. So I think that there will be more excitement just based solely off the Patrick Mahomes. And people, by and large, get excited about offense because that's where the points come from and big plays and chunk yardage and stuff like that. So I think that people will be wooed much more easily by seeing Patrick Mahomes throw a 60-yard pass to Tyreek Hill, who runs under it, than seeing guys working on technique on the sled drill.
Right.
So I think that certainly will add to things. I don't think it'll be like when we had the solar eclipse up there, but I think that it'll be somewhere.
How about the Mahomes eclipse?
Yeah, it's going to be something. I'm always blown away by just how excited people are here in Kansas City. And maybe it's because we've sat as an organization and fans of that organization waiting for so long. I mean,
It has been. It is.
It's been 35 years. The draft was always on my birthday. I was born prior to Todd Blackledge being drafted. So it was never in my lifetime that I had seen it. But I also sit with apprehension because it is a first-year starter. And like we were talking about last year, I think Patrick Mahomes is a wildly gifted player. But I still think that NFL windows are going to close a little bit faster than he anticipates.
Oh, no. I fully anticipate him struggling.
I don't know if even the struggling is fair. No, I just think that his turnover number is certainly
going to be higher than what people think.
Well, it's going to be increased from Alex Smith's. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, because along with that would certainly come more chances that Alex Smith was less than willing to take. I guess my point is that people who see his Texas Tech numbers and they're like, 44 TDs and 8 interceptions. I'm like, all right, pump the brakes here. He's not throwing 44-8. And if he does, I will spin the wheel on Cody's show.
I was going to say, you could eat your hat.
I will not eat a hat. But I will do one of those dumb things and gladly wear it. But I think that's where people need to pump the brakes.
Well, in terms of turnout for St. Joe, I fully expect day one to be a packed house. And look, it's hard because most of their workouts are in the morning, and it's hard to get away from work and go do that. But they have a couple of afternoon sessions. I anticipate those will be packed. And I was thinking about this the other day, about going to training camp. When I was a kid and the Chiefs trained up in Liberty, my dad would take us probably a couple of times each training camp. I couldn't wait because I was a sports nut back then, and I wanted to see everybody. It didn't matter. Bill Kenny and Art Still and Bill Moss and all those guys. And I couldn't wait to get up there. But I'm sure not everybody thinks about it the way I do. I loved going to River Falls. We had great teams at the time. You know, Marty and all that. That was great. So there was a reason to go to River Falls for a weekend trip or a family vacation. It's a nice little town. But I'm curious to see the turnout this year in St. Joe. And maybe after that first week, we'll call a local. We'll call the Stony Creek Inn and find out if their bookings are up over last year.
Just call him now. Better to be safe than sorry.
I could do that. Yeah.
But I mean, just I would be interested to talk to them and find out if their numbers are increased.
I'm sure you could get that information pretty easily.
Yes.
You could take your sons up there. That'd be a fun trip.
We've talked about it in the past, but every time we have a free weekend day, it's been a billion degrees, and you know, and we've had, you know, kids are playing soccer and baseball and everything else, and it's hard. But this year, you know, the Mahomes effect might change that thinking for me.
Yeah, just have the oldest run back from St. Joe.
He's a runner. He runs all the time.
Yeah, just what is that, like 90 miles?
Yeah.
Get going, pal.
He called me yesterday because he does this morning running group, and I drop him off at 7:30, and I said, okay, you know, call me when you're done. He calls me like right around 8 o'clock, and I'm done. I said, well, 30 minutes doesn't seem like it was all that long, and gets in the car, and I said, how far did you run this morning, bud? 4 miles. And I'm stunned because I don't run as like he did. He's 14. He's in good shape. I'm as old as I am, and I don't run as much as I used to. Calls me after running 4 miles in under 30 minutes. Yeah, come and get me. Ready. I don't think he's going to run back from St. Joe, though.
Well, running's bad for you.
Well, when I run, I do the trolley trail. I do not run on concrete. I don't know how people run on sidewalks and concrete. I have to run on crushed rock or some kind of a track.
No, just in general. It's bad
for
you.
Just in general, you don't like to do it?
Of course not. God, no. Why would you just go run?
But I think training camp is going to be bananas. And I'm in the kind of the Stephen St. John camp, as excited as he is. I think Chiefs fans are there with Patrick Mahomes as well. And I'll also be interested to see how the Chiefs handle autograph days, because after every workout, they'll send a position group over to the rail to sign autographs. Running backs one day, tight ends the next, offensive linemen, the attention not so much. But when the quarterback group has their signing day.
You think a lot of people are lining up for Chad Henne?
No.
Or what's the young kid?
McGloin or...
The young kid from...
Oh.
Doesn't matter.
Hang on. I got the quarterback list right here in front of me. And he's not on the roster yet. Chase Litton.
Chase Litton.
The kid from Marshall.
Yep.
Maybe Chase's family will be up here taking a couple of training camp days.
I hope that they're able to stash him on the practice squad.
Yes. Yes. Because everything we've heard about Chase Litton, and now we're gonna, as we do sometimes, we go in different directions. But Patrick Mahomes' autograph day is gonna be unbelievable. But Chase Litton, from everything I've read and heard from the experts, and look, I don't make it a habit to watch Marshall football every week, but I talk to guys who know this kind of stuff. And everything I heard about Chase Litton is big arm, cannon, good dude, good student of the game, and that's a guy you could stash. I don't see the next Tyler Bray there. And by that, I'm giving Chase Litton a compliment. That's a compliment. Tyler Bray, I never saw as an NFL quarterback, ever.
Oh, goodness.
Never.
I'm also excited. We were talking about just different training camp things and what we talked about with Brooke Pryor from The Star. And again, thanks to her for coming on. But I'm also excited, and I know that the defense is a very polarizing issue. I'm excited to see what some of these young guys can do. Breeland Speaks.
Yeah, I was just going to say Breeland
Speaks. Is a guy who they mentioned being a hybrid. I hope that Andy Reid is able to use him in one position well. That is my hope. Right. And Derek Nnadi, I really think, I know that the Chiefs have been so bad against the run that I'm really hopeful he can make a difference there in the middle. And then even their secondary guys in Armani Watts and
Dorian O'Daniel.
Dorian O'Daniel.
I always have to read it to make sure I don't say O'Neill.
Well, and I always think of Dorian Gray. And
yes.
Anyway, so, but yeah, I think that those guys will be interesting to watch. And then they're just, as you mentioned, projects like a Chase Litton and then Reggie McKenzie, who they're converting to the offensive side from defense. And it's training camp is great because there are so many stories. The Chiefs were a good team last year. A lot of people are predicting that they're going to be a good team again this year.
Mm-hmm.
So just to get the football, for lack of a better term, rolling.
Right.
Or I guess, I don't know, kind of wobbling, whatever it does. it'll be really exciting to be up there.
I'll be also very interested because I've seen a lot of tweets and a lot of stories lately about Reggie Ragland. And they had asked him about last season because he was coming off a serious injury. And he had told somebody
if you think I was just okay last year or decent, or even if you think I was good, wait till you see me this year. I think he's feeling good about his workouts, good about his summer, good being with the Kansas City Chiefs, and being having the potential to be a big impact player.
He was an early round draft pick for a reason.
He Buffalo, was a huge college player at Alabama.
Buffalo gave up on him early because of the injury, and you hope that he is healthy. It'll be nice to see if he is expecting big things for himself. Obviously, an upgrade at middle linebacker would certainly help. No disrespect to Derek Johnson, but his time was a little long in the tooth. So that would certainly be nice. And then on the other side, you have Anthony Hitchens playing next to him.
Yeah.
Another new addition. So and there's a bunch of stuff to look at on this. So it's just like Christmas Day. You have all these new toys you can unwrap.
And Hitchens was a terrific player with the Cowboys. I'm certain they wanted to have him back, but couldn't afford him. And as was pointed out, he was the last man in coverage on that that final play of the half, that Hail Mary play. He was the last guy back. So it'll be interesting to see how his teammates, if they rib him, if Tyreek in particular ribs him a little bit for that. But he's a good player. So on that note, we will take a quick timeout. Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, Ben Kercheval from CBSSports.com will join us. We'll talk college football. That is right around the corner. And, of course, that'll start, what, a week before the NFL, a week and a half before the NFL. They always have a Wednesday game, a Thursday game, a Friday game, all kinds of games. So we'll talk with Ben about that. When we come back, we'll wrap up the final segment of this hour, and then we'll roll straight ahead to noon. You are listening to Sports Saturday. Jed Marshall is running the show. My name is Brad Porter, and we're live in the Riley House Studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to... Oh, did I jump on it yet? I was supposed to wait.
I am the greatest.
That's where you're supposed to wait once the hook hits, but it's all right. Live radio.
Usually I wait for the drums to kick in, and I did not.
I don't think you're really bumping a lot of logic on the regular like I am, so...
No. Man, that guy's got a story.
He's coming to Kansas City here in maybe 3 weeks.
Wow.
On some big tour.
Saw a special on him. I think it was on CBS Sunday Morning several weeks ago, and he's had an interesting life, put it that way.
Very talented.
Yep, absolutely. This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 at WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. Pounding out 50,000 watts. Also listen on your app, which you can get at 810WHB.com. Jed Marshall is running the show. My name is Brad Porter. We're live in the Rally House Studios. Jed, let me ask you this. Before we got just a few minutes left before we get to hour number three, in which we'll bring in Ben Kercheval from CBSSports.com, talk college football. Did you play wiffle ball as a kid growing up?
Absolutely. I still play wiffle ball from time to time.
Okay. We played it. My brother and I and our best friend Damon Smith played since we were, I don't know, 6, 7 years old, and we still have, we do a tournament usually in August or September to benefit Alzheimer's. And it gets bigger and better every year. And I love the game. I hurt myself when I play because I try to swing too hard, throw my arm out, whatever it is. Yeah.
I'm going to stay back, Brad.
I know. Got to stay back. Did you play with the smaller wiffle ball, the bigger one, the one with the slats in the side, or the one that had holes all the way around it? Which
I prefer slats on the side.
That's
because
the one we
can make it.
Yes.
Kind of dance around, and we played with a yellow skinny bat.
Yes.
No red full.
No. Or the black bat with the big that had the,
yeah, no,
the oversized
that's
barrel.
That's outlawed.
No. We've always played the yellow. We had nicknames for our bats, too, that we had to write. You had to write the nickname on the bat. Mine was...
Wonder Boy?
No. That's a good one, though.
Simpsons love.
Mine was Kaiser Soze.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Because was it a myth? Was it a mystery? It just might flat up murder you on the wiffle ball field.
Oh, wow. That's, I take back my credit for that's pretty cheesy, Brad.
Well, I had a friend of mine who named his bat Nuwanda, which is from the movie Dead Poets Society. When they would go back in the cave and read, and the one guy got a little out there, and he says, from now on, I want to be called Nuwanda.
I haven't seen that movie in a long
it's
time.
It's so great. God, it's so good. The reason I bring up wiffle ball is so Thursday night I was out at the Urban Youth Academy, 18th and Vine. If you have not been down there, please go down there. It is one of the crown jewels of Kansas City. They got softball fields, they got baseball fields, they have an indoor facility, and Dayton Moore, general manager of the Kansas City Royals, got this going with the CU in the Major Leagues program. Got together with Mayor Sly James and came up with a public-private initiative to build this complex. So I get a phone call a couple of weeks ago from a guy I used to work with, Neil Harwell from Niles Media Group, and he says, hey, do you want to do some TV for a wiffle ball tournament? I said, absolutely. He says, well, we can't pay you anything. I said, no problem. If it's wiffle ball and it's Dayton Moore and it's the CU in the Major Leagues program and Mayor Sly James, I'm down, totally down. So we did four games, and they had the championship today, by the way, at 52nd and Warnell. A guy actually has a wiffle ball stadium in his yard. It's at the Hollow, 52nd and Warnell, if you're in the area.
Are you broadcasting that?
I am not. I was asked to do it, but I'm doing this today, so I couldn't
do it. What time is the game?
I'd have to double check. I just knew I couldn't do it. I think it might have been 10 or 11.
Oh, yeah, we won't be able to make it.
No. So if you're in the area of 52nd and Warnell and you love wiffle ball, stop by the Hollow and check it out. It's a great stadium. So we're down there doing the game, and I don't know which team. I did four games, and I don't know who the teams are ahead of time. I'm just kind of, okay, we kind of show up and figure it out. So lo and behold, the first game is, you're shaking your head. You don't want to hear this?
I don't know if I really,
you don't know where I'm going with this. I'm not what we talked about before the show.
Okay, that's fine then.
So lo and behold, the first game I do, it's a car dealership sponsored team. I don't know if I can say it. Bob Allen Ford, they sponsor the Ford driver seat here at 810. And on the team is one Jamie Bluma.
Ah.
Yeah.
Love Bluma.
You know, if you happen to be able to get a hold of a guy who pitched in, what, a two college World Series and got five saves in the major leagues, you might want to get that guy. So Jamie Bluma's out there. I had a great talk with Jamie. He's got Palooza coming up.
Yeah, Bluma Palooza.
In October.
Which benefits the Wounded Warriors Foundation. Yeah. Something very near and dear to Jamie's heart. Such a great guy.
I think it's October 6th. If I remember correctly, it's that first weekend in October.
Yeah, they were talking about it on the Border Patrol on Wednesday, I think. You can check the podcast page.
So not only is Bluma on the team for Bob Allen Ford, they also have Jeff Kelso. And if you grew up in the Northland like I did, you know who Jeff Kelso is. He was a Simone Award-winning quarterback at Park Hill High School. He also happened to play professional baseball, minor league level. But he played professional baseball. So I'm looking at this team from Bob Allen Ford. They got Jamie Bluma, pro baseball player. They got Jeff Kelso, pro baseball player, and a Simone Award-winning quarterback. I'm like, there's no way they're going to lose this game. They got a lead, and then it got tight. It got exciting. And finally, they were able to come back and win. But I will report, Bluma was good on the hill. Still got it. It's wiffle ball, but he still got it. Bluma can throw it, and he was throwing like what you did when you were kids in wiffle ball. He was making a dive and move and all that, but Bluma still got it.
I saw Bluma throw a bunch of ping pong balls at Nathan Wilhelm, better known as Beards,
right,
when he lost his wheelie bed spin. Yes, I can attest. Bluma can certainly bring it still.
Yeah, Jeff Kelso can bring it. They had themselves a team. It brought back the joy of wiffle ball for me, and playing it when I was a kid and watching adults play it who haven't played in a while and stumbling around and flaying helplessly at the ball. It's very entertaining. I was entertained personally just watching it happen. And then you got guys jacking home runs. They set up the fence basically on the inner part of the infield, of what a major league infield would be. So it wasn't that far, but you got a hold of one, you could get it out. So thank you to Dayton Moore. Thank you to Mayor Sly James and all the people who put on the Crown Town Wiffle Weekend. Matt Folks, thank you very much, and all the teams who came out to support it. We'll take a quick timeout. Hour number three is coming up next. Ben Kercheval from CBSSports.com. You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810, WHB. Illuminates my room, in my mind of light. I think I was dreaming of some thoughts that were seemingly possible.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.